Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. My name is Jamie Waste, and I'll be your host for today's program. Following National Native News, we'll be talking with hula instructor Kilohana, who is in town teaching hula during the Folk Festival. Reverend Belle Mickelson will be here to highlight her inspirational work with Native youth, and then we'll learn about the 5th Annual Lyres and Fiddlers Consortium with Mark Whitman, followed by this month's Extension Saturday. And finally, a preview of the Hannah Yoder Band, in town for several performances this week. Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, Music, and More, up next on a Juno Afternoon on KTOO Juno.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. For the first time, Blackfeet tribal members in Montana can register to vote without having to travel off the reservation. Bree Zender reports.
The new satellite voting office in Browning gives reservation residents better access to same-day voter registration. Tom Rogers, a lobbyist for Native American rights and a Blackfeet tribal member, says extreme poverty and long distances often keep Native people away from the voting booth.
If you're a single woman and a mother, and you have $20 and a car that might not run and it's November, are you going to be able to drive to Cut Bank?
Cut Bank is a 70-mile trip, one way, for reservation residents. Glacier County Commissioner and Blackfeet tribal member Michael DeRogers says the new satellite office helps Blackfeet members take advantage of the system that most other people take for granted.
So there's a problem with getting Native people to register and to vote, and to understand that that is an important right and it is an important issue that Native people need to pursue. But because of the history, it's kind of been on the back burner, you know.
The voting office on the reservation comes after a 10-year struggle. The Native voting advocacy group Four Directions sued the state for denying equal access to reservation voters. Montana Secretary of State Linda McCullough settled the lawsuit in 2014. Four Directions plans to expand their project to more reservations in Montana and Nevada. For National Native News, I'm Bree Zender.
Tribal leaders are calling for improved health care as they meet with Indian Health Service officials this week in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The Associated Press reports IHS Principal Deputy Director Mary Smith on Tuesday talked about reform, calling the level of care at hospitals in the Great Plains unacceptable. The meeting comes after government inspections, listening sessions, and congressional hearings. Tribal leaders have long advocated for changes, pointing out years-long problems, such as inadequate funding, lack of accountability, and workforce recruitment and retention issues. Tribal leaders say lives have been lost because of substandard care. The Great Plains area provides service to Native Americans in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa. A consortium of Lakota language teachers, speakers, and learners continue to work to keep the language alive and growing. At a recent Lakota language workshop in Rapid City, South Dakota, instructor Ben Black Bear Jr. tells Victoria Wicks that a living language keeps a culture relevant.
People use words to describe what's familiar. As their experience changes, so must their words. Ben Black Bear says Lakota is no exception.
It's a changing language, and there's nothing wrong with that. If we want to keep Lakota alive, we have to accept the fact that it changes over the years.
Black Bear says the daily experience of Lakota-speaking people changed drastically when indigenous people were forced onto reservations.
So at that time, our forefathers came up with new words for all these things. You know, and they did it on their own as a community, as a group, see. So we have a lot of new words today that were coined at the beginning of the reservation period.
The indigenous experience today changes alongside that of all other people, especially with innovations in technology. Yulia Manyakina works with the Lakota Language Consortium, which creates educational opportunities and materials for those who want to keep the Lakota language and culture alive. She says the consortium is developing a standardized curriculum for K-12 students, as well as workbooks and audio recordings used for adult learning.
Right now, our biggest project is we're working on a comprehensive Lakota grammar, 600 pages, like over 20,000 example sentences, and we're hoping to release it in September.
This summer, starting June 6th, the consortium co-hosts the 10th annual three-week Lakota Summer Institute at Sitting Bull College at Fort Yates. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. If you or a loved one suffer from alcohol addiction, hear how recovery is possible from those who've had their day one at nativenews.net. Support by VisionMaker Media, whose mission is to empower and engage Native people to tell stories. On February 20th, VisionMaker Media celebrates 40 years of advancing Native culture, heritage, wisdom, sacred stories, and the storyteller. More at visionmakermedia.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And our first topic on a Juneau afternoon today, I guess the topic might be called Music Camps for Native Youth. And our guest is the Reverend Belle Mickelson, who is creator of a school music camp program called Dancing with the Spirit that has traveled to 30 Alaskan Native villages, most of them many times, in an effort to encourage healthy living and maintain Native culture, language, and traditions by connecting elders and youth through music. And for her efforts and accomplishments, Reverend Mickelson was recently honored with the prestigious Purpose Prize for Intergenerational Impact. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Jamie. It's great to be talking with you.
Can I call you Belle or Reverend Mickelson?
That's what everybody calls me, Belle.
Well, congratulations on the honor. That's needless to say, that must be a culmination of many years of effort on your part to create something meaningful and impactful. And in this case, it's these music camps for Native youth. So why don't you just tell people off the top, what have you created?
Well, I think I just wanted to say one thing, too, about the prize. It's definitely a we prize because so many people have helped in this effort. And I think that it all started for me back in Cordova when I was a 4-H agent, and there were I knew that 4-H agents did camps, and we'd been doing science camps, and so why not do a music camp? And I heard about one that had been done in Anchorage by Mary Schauert, and just sight unseen, I put this camp together, and after we'd been doing it 5 years, I said, everybody should have a camp, and better than me telling you, listen to the kids that come out of it. And so we put together a band called Barefoot. They called themselves Barefoot. And, of course, they were, like, incredibly successful. Won the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, ended up getting a recording contract, making 5 CDs and traveling all over the U.S., Canada, and Europe. But Kate Hamry, the bass player, put together a traveling camp. And when I had heard about issues in the villages, like everywhere, but when a suicide or tragedy occurs, it's even worse in the villages. And so from the traveling idea, I thought, let's go to the villages. And before we did that, we invited some of the elders to come and see the camp, the bluegrass camp for kids that Kate was running in Fairbanks with Barefoot. And, of course, they said, yes. This will work in the villages. This is going to be awesome. And they have volunteered to travel with us so many times. And so I think as a science teacher, I love science and can't get enough of it. But when you talk about totally changing kids' lives, music is where it's at. And I think the most important thing we do, surprisingly enough, isn't exactly the music. It's the connection with the elders, the connection with the culture, the language. And wherever we go, we try to get the elders coming into the classroom, teaching with us. And we've been doing it mostly in Fairbanks, out of the interior, the Tanana Chiefs region. But now we really want to get it going in Southeast. And so one reason to be on this program is to encourage everybody you know to donate to our program to help us get to more Southeast villages, and also to donate instruments and time, prayers, connections. Anything helps as far as getting it out to places besides Angoon and Yakutat, which already love the program.
So let's maybe put a little more detail here. So when you create a camp, when you go to a community, what happens? What do you create for the youth and the elder in that community?
Well, basically, we fly in or take the ferry or drive with a whole plane load of instruments, fiddles and guitars, you know, at least 20 instruments. And because every class that we teach, we want every kid to have an instrument in their hands and to sing. And we divide it up by the grades. Usually we work with elementary in the morning and the high school, junior high in the afternoon. And, like, depending on the size of the school, we might have, like, the kindergarten through second graders for an hour or 45 minutes. And then we'll have the older kids. And we also do square dancing because I think that really builds community, is, you know, facing one another and grabbing their hand and, you know, twirling and smiling, and it's so awesome.
So over the course of a week, what's the goal? What's the outcome?
Well, the end of the week, we have a community concert and dance, and we have a color-coded method that's kind of built on other kinds of teaching music, but it's, like, so easy. Anyone sixth grade and up can know 10 or 15 fiddle tunes by Friday. And the younger kids, two or three. And then, playing guitars, it's all color-coded. And G is red, whether you're playing the fiddle or the guitar or mandolin or whatever you're playing. And so it's transferable. Kids can try out different instruments. And you come, you basically have a class where you learn to hold the guitar, put your fingers down, and there's yellow dots for the D chord, so you put your fingers on the yellow dots, and then you strum a bunch, and it's magical.
So in the course of a week, you show up and you create this community event, and then for the individuals, for the youth in particular, but I realize it's intergenerational, what's your sense of what the outcome is for them, you know? Their reward? There's a reward here for them doing this.
Yeah. I think they've shown that singing just makes you feel better, and playing the guitar, you get all these endorphins going. And I think it's a group project. You know, a lot of times when you're doing academics, there's some kids that are really great and some not so great. But with music, it's kind of like everybody can have a success. Because even if you're not singing that well, the person next to you is doing a great job. And together, you sound awesome. So it's kind of building, you know, a community of among the kids and creating happiness. I think one of the things I noticed one time, I went to Circle a few years ago, and we were late getting in because of snowstorms, so we didn't get there till Monday morning. Usually we always come on Sundays so we can night have the instruments all ready and start first thing Monday morning, but we got there late. And the kids who hadn't seen us for like a year and a half started jumping up and down. They were so excited. And as I kind of found out some of the struggles they were having at home or in school or whatever, I just thought, we as adults need to do more to bring things that make kids happy. And this program certainly does. It's like so joy-filled. And the elders love it because everywhere in Alaska, people were playing this kind of music when they were little, and they were dancing to the tunes. We teach Hank Williams and Johnny Cash and old country and gospel and just things that the 40s and 50s are really popular in our program in the 60s. If kids want to learn a new hot song, as long as it has good language, we teach them that too.
And are you doing this year-round?
You know, it's turned into
being... This is in your retirement, right?
Right, right. Yeah. It's mostly a school program,
mm-hmm.
And we do some summer camps. We're going to do a camp with St. Brendan's here in Juneau, the August 3rd through 7th. So put that on your calendar if anybody wants to do something there. And we're also talking about another possible event in June. But we're open to... You know, our funding comes basically from schools and tribal councils and individual donations. So if you want to help us out, we have a foundation, a Tappan Foundation, that's been funding the Yakutat program every year. And it's phenomenal for the kids. It's kind of like we go, we make a huge impact. It's so exciting. But every time we go back, it's better. It grows exponentially.
So people can make a financial contribution to assist. Other ways that people can be to get involved and participate and support this?
Well, if they would like to donate instruments, if you have guitars with strings missing or need to be glued, we can help mm-hmm. out. All the music stores in Alaska are wonderful at helping us. And, you know, I, of course, as a priest, I'd say prayers are good. And, you know, connections with people. Even if you don't have the funding, you might know somebody that would be willing to help fund a program or volunteer to help teach a class in the summer when we're needed or in a school. And to keep the program going, whenever we go to communities, we're always looking for people that will start a little bluegrass club after school or a fiddle tunes practice time or help keep it going in the community.
And how do people get a hold of you or the organization to get involved?
Yeah, we have a website. It's dancingwiththespirit.org. And my phone number is 907-388-3347. And you can or email me, my name, bellmickelson@gmail.com. And, yeah, I'd love to talk to you, brainstorm ideas on how to keep the thing going. I mean, I think it's an idea that would work in any community all over the world, not just in Alaska. But I'm, of course, living in Alaska, I'm just so excited to see it getting going here. And it's just a great thing for kids. And for kids that, you know, have special needs and stuff, it's like sliced bread. It's phenomenal, you know. And there's so many kids out there that don't know they're really good at music.
Yeah. Yeah, the untapped talent that's in everybody. And art and music is such a wonderful way to get at that.
Right. And there's been studies of the music programs done in Juneau here where they're teaching fiddle out at Glacier Valley Violin. And the kids that were involved in that program are involved have increased in their math and reading and writing skills. Phenomenally. And when I was running an alternative high school for the Cordova School District, we found that every time that's how we got the kids back on track was with music and art. They could get some confidence. Well, hey, wow, I can write a song. Or, yeah, hey, I can play a few chords. And, you know, with three chords, you can play hundreds of songs. I mean, it's not hard to succeed at music. And so then when they had that confidence, then they could do the math and English and things that they might have been dreading.
We've been listening to Reverend Bell Mickelson talking about the music camps for Native youth that she has created. I think for more than 10 years now, you've been running
10
around
years
the state doing this.
June.
A remarkable accomplishment. So congratulations on that. And it's good to see you here in Juneau. And I hope this interview helps get more participation so that more of this great service is provided throughout Alaska. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie.
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 6th of April, 2016. The United States entered World War I on this date in 1917. First commercial communication satellite, Intelsat 1, was placed in orbit on this date in 1965. Nicknamed Early Bird, sent up to provide a public telecommunications service by way of satellite. It was in place and operational in time to provide television coverage of the splashdown of Gemini 6 the following December. It was shut down in 1969, the Early Bird satellite. It's the birthday of Merle Haggard, born 1937 in California, grew up in a remodeled boxcar outside of Bakersfield, and still making records. Latest album is Django and Jimmy, came out last year, collaboration with Willie Nelson. It's the birthday of the man who said, to succeed in science, you have to avoid dumb people. You must always turn to people who are brighter than yourself. The biophysicist James Dewey Watson, born and raised in Chicago, born 1928, got his Ph.D. in zoology from Indiana University, went off, took a job at the University of Copenhagen, did some research in the genetic makeup of viruses, and then moved to Cambridge University. And soon after that, he began working with Francis Crick. They were both interested in DNA, the structure of DNA. And both of them believed it was a double helix, looking like a twisted ladder. They published their findings in the journal Nature in 1953. Watson, along with Crick and Maurice Wilkins, won the Nobel Prize in 1962 for the discovery. Wrote about it in the book The Double Helix, a personal account of the discovery of the structure of DNA. A few years ago, the Modern Library ranked the book as number 7 on its list of the 100 best nonfiction books of the 20th century. It was a gossipy book. One reviewer called it unbelievably mean in spirit. The book begins, "I have never seen Francis Crick in a modest mood." And it was on this day in 1327, the poet Petrarch saw Laura for the first time. It was on Good Friday in the Church of St. Clair in Avignon. Her identity never confirmed, but she was probably Laura de Novis, a noblewoman living in Avignon with her husband. Petrarch was 22. She was a teenager, maybe 17. He fell instantly in love. He wrote, "When I fell captive, lady, to the gaze of your fair eyes, fast bound in love's strong cord." They never had a real romance, but for the rest of his life he idealized her, and he dedicated 366 sonnets to Laura. Here's a poem for today by Kristen Case entitled Morning. Against all probability, our bulbs have blossomed, opened their white rooms, given their assent. I pull myself from your breathing to take a closer look. It happened overnight. Outside, a flock of birds folds and unfolds its single body. I start the coffee. Light comes from impossible directions. You are still asleep. I cup the curve of your skull with my hand, alive, sleeping. Light rises on the flame-colored bricks. A poem by Kristen Case, Morning, from Little Arias, published by New Issues Press, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for programming comes from the Capital City Weekly, focused on arts, culture, and entertainment in Southeast Alaska, with distribution at community retailers throughout the region. Information at capitalcityweekly.com.
Well, it's as many people in Juneau know, it's Folk Festival Week here in the Capital City, a big event for many, many years, so all kinds of locals and visitors coming into town to take part in the Folk Festival, not only on the stage, but in the community with all kinds of workshops and different things. And in our studio, we have Kilohana and Harry Saria, and they're both here to talk about why they've come to Juneau this week, and it has to do with hula dancing and Hawaiian folk music. So welcome to you both.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Welcome back to Juneau, I understand. You've been here before.
Yes, I'm thrilled to be back here for the festival. I was here in June with the beautiful sun. I lucked out that week, and this is a very different experience. I love this mysterious kind of foggy weather. It's so different from Hawaii.
And people, I'm sure, have told you, it's more often like this than it is like the sun that you encountered before.
It is. And, you know, we bring our own sun within us. And when we dance hula, it shines.
So you will be dancing hula as part of the folk festival. So why don't you tell people about the performance or what's involved, who's involved with the performance?
The performance is going to be as close as you can get to Hawaii right here in Juneau. I am very proud that my students, hula students from Juneau, will be on that stage along with one of my students who has come from Hawaii to be part of it as well. And we will be presenting both ancient and modern hula in our performance this coming Friday from 7:45 to 8 on the stage at the Folk Fest.
Mm-hmm. So obviously there will be dancing. Is there going to be music? What else will be on the stage? I see a visual treat in my mind when I think about this.
You're absolutely right.
There is going to be everything you can imagine on that stage in terms of authentic Hawaiian performance. We are very fortunate to have live musicians who will be performing, and I will be chanting. I will be playing an ancient Hawaiian instrument called the ipuheke, which is like a Hawaiian drum. So you'll have the ancient drumming and chanting for the ancient dances that celebrate the monarchs of the past, and you'll have lively, beautiful Hawaiian music for the modern dances, and flowers galore.
And Harry, are you on the stage for the performance on Friday night?
I'll be just emceeing the transitions. Again, as you know, the festival moves very quickly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and do all of this within that 15-minute segment. So I'm doing the transitions, just emceeing very quick tidbits as we move through the ancient to the modern, a solo and then back and so forth. So it needs to move very, very quickly. So we're going to try and do it, as we would say, almost like a luau show.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Those demanding folk festival organizers. But it's a wonderful thing.
No, it's a beautiful. We watched last night. We attended, and it was just beautiful.
Yeah,
amazing
yeah.
how it's orchestrated.
Yeah, very good. So this week, it's the folk festival. That's probably the main event, but I think you folks are probably maximizing your time here in Juneau and engaging in the community in other ways.
We are indeed, and we're trying to let people know about what we call our hui, which in Hawaiian means club. There is a very active hula club right here in Juneau for those who may be interested out there. And this Saturday after the performance, we're hoping to entice some new hula dancers to a Saturday afternoon hula workshop at Pavitt's from 2 to 5. It's $30 for 3 hours. And in those 3 hours, you'll be learning a lot of Hawaiian history. I'll be doing a lot of storytelling. There will be learning of basic steps and ancient hula as well as a modern hula.
And you'll definitely know how to dance a hula when you leave.
And then on Sunday, as part of the festival, Harry and I will be sharing the history of Hapa Haole music. Perhaps you can say a few words
half
about
Hawaiian, half English. English words with just a few Hawaiian references. Hapa Haole, half.
And he'll be sharing the 5 different periods in this music. I will be illustrating these periods with a hula for each particular time slot. And at the very end, I will teach a hula to whoever in the audience is interested in learning.
Again, you'll learn how to dance hula, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And Harry, are you doing a music show, or did I hear you're involved with something else here in the K2 studios on Thursday?
Right. Yes, I will be back here. Help me with the name of that show, honey. Do I have it written down?
Crossroads.
Yes, Cross Currents, 8 o'clock, and I think we're going to be here for a couple hours.
And are you going to be playing Hawaiian music?
Yeah, I've produced 30 compact discs over 25 years of vintage Hawaiian music restored, so I'll be bringing those in, and we'll be sharing it with our co-host and having a great old time.
So we've got just a minute here. I want to make sure, if there was something else that you wanted to mention, please do, but I guess my last question is, What is it about hula? Why it seems to be such a magical thing when people, you know, when people say, oh, there's hula dancing, there's always this sense of something really pleasing and entertaining. And what is it about hula?
I think what's very special about hula is the connection to nature. And people here in Juneau have that connection, just this amazing place where you live. You have nature all around you, and in Hawaii we do as well. We're very blessed in that respect. And everything, the movements itself, the beat, the motions, the chants, the songs are all about nature. And I think that's what makes it so special and so needed in today's world.
Harry, anything to add?
I just wanted to add that 3 to 4:30 workshop will at the Folk Festival will be on Hapa'ali music and hula at the Sheffield Ballroom at Centennial Hall on Sunday, yeah, 3 to 4:30.
So you're on the main stage Friday evening at 7:45. You have the Sunday workshop. And what was the other thing out of Pavitt's? Let's get that back in one more time.
And there is a hula workshop Saturday afternoon at Pavitt's from 2 to 5.
A full weekend. And then do you guys fly home, or do you get to stay and have some more fun in Juneau?
We tried to stay on, but they won't have us. We have to go back to Honolulu. I should say that she teaches hula in Paris, in Rome,
Beijing. Hawaii.
We're kind of like the Folk Festival. We give you so much time, and then we move you off
exactly.
The stage. But congratulations on all of your accomplishments, and thank you for coming back to Juneau and sharing your talent and your skill with the community. Kilohana and Harry, nice to meet you both.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Aloha. Bob Banghart and Mark Whitman are in the studio, and the next topic is the 5th Annual Lyres and Fiddlers Consortium?
Consort.
Oh, consort. Oh,
consort, my goodness.
I've seen it written consort. In several different ways. Consort. Okay,
consort.
We'll talk about...
Do we look like business people?
Sounds like a business.
We'll talk about consort in a second. So this is Saturday, correct?
At correct.
1 p.m. at T.K. McGuire's at the Prospector.
That is
an
true.
Annual Liars and Fiddlers Consort. So the first thing I thought of is fifth annual. It must be successful.
Longevity has no indication of success.
Okay.
So, it's just perseverance and mm-hmm. the desire to bring the light to those who will sit and listen.
So an annual liars. Let's talk about the liars part first.
Surely.
What's going to happen on Saturday at 1 o'clock in regards to the liars effort
here? Well, Jamie, why waste your time with explaining what we do? Let me simply show you an example of our craft. And it is a craft. It is an art. For example, we know that those who guide our city forward have spoken of the need for a new settling pond for our excess sewage in our community, perhaps on Douglas Island itself. In this time of economic uncertainty, we must look at all things differently, creatively. Yes, Bob?
Yes. I would say yes, of course.
Yes. So why sit upon our liquid assets when cruise ships, which will soon visit our fair city, that are 40% larger than anything we have seen before? 40% will be visiting. And when these giant vessels glide past the safe sanctuary of Gastineau Channel, they are extremely vulnerable to Taku winds that could sweep down and tip them. Yes, highly unstable. So again, why sit upon our liquid assets? For a nominal fee, our surplus of sewage could be pumped as liquid ballast into the holds of these giant vessels, providing much-needed stability for their voyage through the inside passage.
It's a large idea to digest, if
it
you
is,
really think
it
about
is,
it.
Yeah,
it's a very large idea. And I think that indeed gets at the core mm-hmm. of what we try to do with simple facts.
Simple
facts. Truths. And a desire for those things to be clouded through the rationale of undefined opportunity.
Now, are you the two sole liars in this event on Saturday?
No,
are there many more? Tell us. So there are others featured.
It would be as if one was to walk onto the streets within the community there and say free money. The people who would show would then thus be part of this family. There isn't any defined membership as it is. We all practice the art, whether we want to acknowledge that we practice the art or not, or if we profit from the art or not, is the determination of the individual who practices the art. But we all practice the art.
Somehow the fiddlers is a part of this. So let's talk about the fiddlers. Do you want to talk about the liars part a little more?
No, the fiddlers part, and forgive me, Bob, because I know how talented you are, but some of these lies have been so worked upon and polished over a period of years, literally, that it takes one's breath away. So we need, in between the lies, a musical interlude to collect ourselves and find our center again.
And in some instances, the music is laminated to the practice of the stated art in such a way as it deepens the significance of what is being said to the general group. And that, I know of at least three instances where there will be accompaniment to the story. And again, this is something where it's a calling in certain respects. And we find that people who appear at the event, we have no advance notice of it. We don't know what they're going to say. We don't know where they're going to go with it. We just trust that what they tell us
will
be obscured, that the true intent will be mystified, and that the real meat of what it is we're trying to get to will be uncovered, much like laying open a large piece of beef heart before frying.
Yes, absolutely. And we've invited professionals, politicians and lawyers, people who are gifted in the craft. We've begged them to come and mentor the young people that truly want to be tutored in this art, to look directly into people's eyes, to stretch the truth without blinking, and convince. What a gift to pass to the next generation.
What a future that we hold in our hands at this point in order to survive as a species. It's a skill unbeknownst to most, practiced by all, and heralded by few. But it's still the skill that needs to be passed on.
Fifth annual. Do you have repeat liars? Are people who've done this every year, or is it just every year is it something brand new?
I think you're projecting an order onto what occurs here that may not exist within the hearts and minds of our participants.
It's a natural thing. I mean, that would be to say, do you have a repeat sunrise? No, each sunrise is unique into itself. There is nothing there that heralds yesterday, only the certainty that I'm alive to see this. And with that itself,
don't miss it.
Specialty is then defined.
Don't miss it.
Is it really the fifth annual? Do I even have to question the promotion here?
I'm missing fingers. I can't count as well as Bob.
The fifth. We always take the fifth.
Well, drink it.
So for people who are scratching their heads going, yeah. Wait, what the heck are we listening to right
Liars
now?
Liars and Fiddlers Consort, the fifth annual. It will be held at T.K. McGuire's at the Prospector between 1 and 3 o'clock this coming Saturday. If you like to lie, or if you like to be lied to, come. I warn you, this is not for children. A dangerous combination of alcohol and lying will be involved.
It produces presidential candidates.
Yes.
And this has it always been a part of the Folk Festival Week? Because it seems like a natural fit somehow in the week.
Well, it's kind of like a growth on the outside of the body of the Folk Festival.
There has been attempts to extricate it, but at the point in time they've given up, and the salve that's rubbed upon it to shrink it does not work.
They've tried freezing it with liquid nitrogen, but it just returns every year.
Every year, yeah.
Yes.
And sanctioned, I don't believe we are. We do this on our own, funded personally. We put our own sweat, blood, and money into this because we care, and we're here for the community. Because what better way to be able to discern the direction that they want to travel as individuals by understanding how people have come before them in a way that's not completely clear or with purpose.
Well, football.
It's all making sense.
That,
to me,
that
kind
is
of,
Bob
maybe,
speak.
Or
there's a copyright on Bob Speak, but you heard it here today at K2.
Anything else about the fifth annual Liars and Fiddlers Consort, which is happening Saturday, this coming Saturday, 1 o'clock, T.K. McGuire's at the Prospector? Anything else about this remarkable-sounding event that you want to make sure people know about?
We're facing economic challenges. I hope to use it as an open brainstorming session about how we might capitalize upon large groups of dazed tourists who may have participated in marijuana parlors or the Red Dog Saloon wandering our streets. There are economic possibilities here, people. So come and share in the truth.
And that, I think, is the underscore, sharing. It's an open forum, and if you have something that you feel would benefit us as individuals or the largest of community, bring it forward, and we will again address you as brother, sister, and a member of the family.
And last question, there's no recording, there's no record of this,
This is
right?
A Facebook-free zone, strictly enforced.
Rex, it's funded out of Panama, by the way, for those of you who are interested.
You know, I talked to Vladimir the other day. He's not going to be able to make it in, though.
Well, maybe next year.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a dinner to meet. George Clooney and his wife have invited us, so
very good. So you guys got to go.
I realize this
could go on and on and on and on and on, but you have a dinner date, so.
Yeah, I think I saw George's limo pull up in front of the studio.
Yes, we don't dine with him with the crowd.
Yeah,
got to go. Mark Whitman, Bob Banghart,
thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/park/pool. More information at 586-5325.
This is Bird Note. In his book, Rare and Elusive Birds of North America, Connecticut naturalist and writer William Burt tells of the Sprague's pipit, also known as the Missouri skylark. Upward he goes, in bounding spirals 200, 300, 400, even 500 feet above the plane, it is supposed. Then he weaves about slowly, easily, as if swimming, and he sings. For 20, 30 minutes or more, sometimes an hour by some accounts, then suddenly plummets, like a falcon at terrific speed. Then, in the nick of time before self-destructing, he scales away and glides, and gracefully alights. A pipit sings in clear and cloudy skies alike. One evening in the rumbling black sky before a storm, I heard one sing with unusual speed and energy, and he was still up there singing when I left, with rain underway. Another time, after a brief tornado had appeared and a hailstorm roared past, I heard one sing with the same exhilaration. The wind whipped cold. Loose wisps of cloud drew past. Sand flew, and a rainbow segment came and went. And during all this, a pipit was up there singing deliriously, as if it were occasion for a party. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
The Juno Skating Club presents Heroes and Villains, a spring skating spectacular, starring the JSC's very own amazing skaters in two thrilling shows with special guest skater and international competitor Courtney Hicks, Saturday, April 9th at 3 and 7 p.m. at the Treadwell Arena. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, or at the door.
And it's always fun to have folks from the Cooperative Extension in the studio. So Sarah Lewis has joined us along with Amy Hauk.
Hauk.
Amy Hauk, welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Extension Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. So well, what we're doing is, actually, this is about a new thing that we have going on. That's why Amy is here. It's called Wild Kitchen Walks. One of the things that I do in my program is I find out what people want to do related to local foods. And one thing that I hear a lot about is wanting to learn about foraging, about wild edibles, all of the spring greens and ocean and shore edibles that we have. And so I went to my friend Amy and another friend Corrine, who are local foraging experts. And we have put together what we're hoping to do monthly. We're calling them Wild Kitchen Walks, and it's not just about looking for the delicious things that are starting to sprout all around Juneau, but also what to do with them after you have them.
That's right.
That would be good advice to have. So, Amy, what's your involvement? What are you going to be doing?
We're going to take a walk on Saturday the 30th. We'll take a short walk together and forage for whatever is growing at the time, which, since it's in April, it's going to be things like nettles.
And this year, things might be a little accelerated.
They are, actually. I have to remind myself that sometimes I think, oh, things are really early. Then I look back at my photos from last year, and maybe they're not quite as early. I think they are. But yeah, things are definitely coming along. And then once we find what we're going to use, we'll talk about sustainable harvest and things like that. Then we'll go back to the kitchen and create some fun things to eat and ways to use them.
You know, I'm not sure most Junoites would think about where we live as a place where you can just go out and forage.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, just berries. I mean, that's sort of the...
Well, sorry. Berries
entry,
would be the one thing.
Yeah, no, but that's the entry. But you can go further than that.
You're talking beyond that. There's much more out there potentially.
And really, the places that we go are very accessible. We're not, you know, bushwhacking, going deep into the woods or anything like that.
So, Sarah, for people who want to get involved with this, I realize it's a few weeks off, but for people who want to get involved...
Yes. So the best way is just to give a call to my office at 523-3280, and I can give you more information. We can get you signed up. We are going to have registration. There will be a cost associated with it. So the walk, if you just want to go on the walk, it's going to be $10. If you want to do just the kitchen part, maybe you've already harvested some and you want some ideas. I think we're probably going to do nettle pesto and things like that. The kitchen section will be $25. If you sign up for both, it'll be $30. And so 523-3280 to get on the list and to get more information.
And how many people can, is this just one walk on that Saturday?
On that Saturday, it's just one walk. And right now, we don't necessarily have an upper limit. We, at some point, depending on how many people call, we may.
We're probably more limited by kitchen space than we are by the walking space. So,
right.
But yeah, I think we can probably, I would imagine, at least a dozen people we can get cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah, it should be fun. And this is, the, like we said, the first in a series of monthly walks. And we're going to hopefully culminate in a sort of bigger event at the end of the foraging season.
Right, hopefully a retreat, possibly an overnight retreat someplace.
And Amy, just to whet people's appetite, the kinds of things that you might find on this maiden voyage out there foraging
with
people?
So nettles are a big deal right now. They're really, they're very widely available. They're, you know, it's they're easy to find and to use. And lately I've been making nettle pesto and nettle chips, which are kind of like kale chips. They're roasted. They're really yummy. And seasoning that's kind of like a Japanese gomazio seasoning, but made with nettles. You can make tea. So we're going to be playing with that, but also things like twisted stalk and, you know, other kind of things that are just sprouting.
Devil's
Club buds maybe by then. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll just have to see what's around and what's plentiful.
Sarah, anything else on this before we go?
Well, not on this. We do have another quick event that I'd like to go ahead and plug. Our Alaska Experience 4-H camp is registering right now. It's an awesome camp. It's going to be June 6th through 10th. We actually do have a sort of pre-camp event for older kids who might want to be youth leaders as well, that where we would love to get some more youth leaders. And so once again, 523-3280 to register your youth 11 through 18 for that.
Very good. Well, Sarah Lewis and Amy Houck, thank you very much, both of you, for coming in, and good luck with the foraging. It sounds like a really cool thing to do, so I hope you get a good turnout.
I think we will. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Amy.
And we were just listening to the very fine sounding music of the Hannah Yoder Band. And Hannah is joining us on the phone right now. We also have Scott Burton in the studio to help with this conversation. Hannah, welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm good. So are you in Anchorage right now?
I am in Anchorage, yeah.
And when are you going to get to Juneau?
We are heading to Juneau tomorrow afternoon, usually like around 1:30, I think. Something like that.
Very exciting. And you're coming down, I think, for several reasons, but I think the big one is that you get to be part of the Alaska Originals Presents series.
Yeah.
Which is going to be this really wonderful live performance recorded for television, for broadcast statewide, mm-hmm. in this beautiful performance space here at KTOO. And so I know that folks here are looking forward to having you in town. So how did you get connected with this opportunity?
Well, actually, so my cousin, Anna Lynch, she did it last year during the Juneau Folk Festival, and she told me about it. And I've had other friends, like Todd Grebe, like, you've done it. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. I think I'll get a hold of Scott and see what the deal is with that. So that's kind of how that happened. Kind of put it into motion last year during Folk Fest. And now this year we're doing it.
So for people not familiar with your music, I mean, maybe they just got a little taste of it, but why don't you how would you describe your music for people?
Well, that's a great question. I call it Americana. You know, it's kind of a catch-all, but it's got, you know, some country influences, definitely some bluegrass. That's my background is in bluegrass and, you know, kind of bluegrass country, a little bit of folk. Americana, what I would call it.
And your background, your Alaska background, your music background, share a little bit about that.
Okay, yeah. So I grew up in Hope, Alaska, which is on the Kenai Peninsula a little bit, like 2 hours south of Anchorage, a little tiny, tiny town. And both of my parents, my dad plays music and my mom's really into music, and they met at a bluegrass festival. So it's been part of my life, my entire life. And when I was a kid, they urged my sister and I to start playing music, and I picked up guitar and she started playing bass and just kind of took it from there. And there was bluegrass around all the time, and we started taking lessons and learning all these songs, and I went to college to study music, and that's kind of where I started writing songs and got a little bit more into the old time music tradition because I was living in North Carolina, and then started writing my own songs, got a little bit into country, a little bit more into folk, and it's kind of, that's how that happened.
Are you a full-time musician? How are you pasting your lifestyle together here? Is it music all the time, or are you doing multiple things?
No, not music all the time. I have a day job. I'm a direct service provider for adults with disabilities, so I do that Monday through Friday and play music most weekends and take a little bit extra time off in the summer to play music and go different places. But kind of a little bit of both right now.
So, Scott, for you, as producer of this series, this wonderful series that's put so many great artists on the stage for the rest of the state and beyond to see and observe, Hannah Yoder Band, how did this come together for you?
Yeah, so I think it was last year at the festival, I walked into the Red Dog one night, and there's this band just completely ripping, doing great music, bluegrass style, but with this sort of honky-tonk swagger kind of thing, it really in-depth songwriting, great voice, great chemistry with the band, and of course everyone was talking about them, and I had the great honor of being able to, you know, choose bands for this series, and they were a natural pick, and I got to talk to Hannah, who's been great to work with, and hi, Hannah, by the way, can't wait to see
Hello.
You tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going to be a great show. This show we specially sort of engineered to happen during the dinner break at Folk Fest, because we don't want to interfere with all the great stuff that the Alaska Folk Fest board and everyone is putting on over there. But you have from 5 to 7 off, you know, or 4:30 to 7, something like that, on Saturday. So it's a free concert downstairs at 360. Doors open at 4:30, and it starts at 5 o'clock, and it'll be 1 hour of awesome, intimate time with Hannah Yoder and company.
And Hannah, are you in the band? You ready to roll here?
Ready. Yeah.
have you been live on television before?
Yes, we have. There's a like morning show here in Anchorage, and they on Fridays they have music. And we did that once. It was only about 15 minutes, though, so a little bit shorter, but.
Well, it's a beautiful performance space, and I think you're really going to enjoy the event. So again, it's Saturday at 5 o'clock. It's free. Mm-hmm. You want a packed house here, I'm assuming, and you've got all kinds of people in town for this event. And real quickly, Hannah, I think you're also performing elsewhere. Are you performing elsewhere when you're here in town?
Yeah, we are. Once again, on Friday night, we're performing at the Red Dog. We start at 9:30, play till about midnight, and then Eli West and his band are going to take over. And we don't have a spot at the actual festival this year because we figured we were busy enough. But we'll be at the Red Dog Friday night and then Alaska Originals on Saturday.
Hannah, we're all looking forward to seeing you in Juneau and performing. Good luck with
awesome.
It all. And
thank you.
We'll see you soon.
See you tomorrow.
All right, thank you. See you tomorrow.
Call a home. This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on Translators.